Hey everybody, it's Lee. Welcome to Ancient and New. Little quick announcement before we get started. For some reason, I think one of the cables is bad on the recording setup we were using. And so occasionally in this episode, like Thomas's mic would just go out. So I tried to kind of do a deep dive into the audio file and boost his signal as it was coming across the room into my microphone so that you could still hear what he was saying. He was just throwing down some great stuff. And anyway, we tried to make it better. Hopefully you'll be able to understand everything. We will get it worked out before next week's episode, but hang with us this week. Again, we are always so thankful for y'all. And this week we're thankful for your patience. So, all that being said, enjoy the episode. So, a couple of times on Saturday, I was looking over at your court and I almost called a fault on Jeffrey.
You talking pickles?
I'm talking pickles. We're talking pickleball.
Not Tommy Pickles.
No.
Pickleball.
Pickleball. So our church had a pickleball tournament on this past Saturday. If you don't know what pickleball is, it's a game kind of like tennis or ping pong. It's like smaller court than tennis, bigger court than ping pong, but you use paddles like you do in ping pong. You use a wiffle ball. Mm. And really, really, really fun game. And we had this tournament and Jeffrey Mason, our buddy, shows up on waiver wires, like without a partner. Another dude shows up without a partner. They became a team that won the entire tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. Joseph Laurent is just unreal.
Yeah. He is one of those alpha supreme athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's nationally ranked in ping pong. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, and he played college tennis, so it's literally
he was a very good tennis player.
Yeah, I've played ping pong against him many a time, and with Miguel as well.
Yeah,
which I've never beat. I may have beat Miguel once by chance.
Is Miguel really good at ping pong?
Yes, he's unbelievable. But Joseph is unfreaking believable. I don't think I've ever scored a point against him unless he caused it to happen.
So this is interesting because the day that we were moving Bill Reeser into Oak Ridge, the first thing that came off the truck was his ping pong table, and it's like a really nice ping pong table. And you looked at him and you said to Bill, you were like, "You're good at this, aren't you?" And then he gave this look where he was like, "Oh yeah, I'm good at it." So Bill lives like three doors down from Joseph. So have they played each other yet?
No, but I asked Joseph about it and he said that they've like talked about having a day of doing it. So it's definitely been mentioned.
I wonder if we can sell tickets to it.
I don't know, but I would be there. I'll gladly watch. I'm not going to try to. Joseph and I were texting last week, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to my." He goes to a ping pong league in downtown Knoxville, and he's like, "You want to come with me?" And I was like, "Look, because I'm usually game for anything."
Yeah.
But I was literally just like, "No," because I will get. And he was like, "Yeah, that's a good idea."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was like, "Joseph, I won't score a point," and he was like, "Yeah, you're right." And I was like, we need to play before, and you need to teach me a lot. And he was like, yeah, you're right.
One of my best friends growing up had a ping pong table in his house and in his basement. And I used to spend the night over there all the time. And he beat me one time with a flip-flop.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Who?
Keith.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he was like, I was like, "Are you," like, we were playing a game and, you know, it was kind of going back and forth. I was like, "Are you taking it easy on me?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I was like, like you don't need that. Like, you could beat me with something other than the paddle." And he was like, "Oh yeah." Yeah. And so the first thing he beat me with was, you've ever seen those, the big brush that they use to brush off a pool table?
Yeah.
Like the felt.
Yeah.
So it's like bristles on one side and it's just a wooden block on the other mm-hmm. side. So he beat me with the pool table brush.
Yeah.
And then he beat me with a flip flop, like a $2 Old Navy.
Oh, well, yeah, those were the thing for a while there.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm not good at ping pong, but definitely there are those people that are just like, they're just a level above. But Joseph is one of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And so he shows up and he teams up with Jeffrey in pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking over at when you and Tom were playing Jeffrey and Joseph, and Jeff was just like, He was hitting the ball hard.
Jeffrey's a bully. And I don't understand it. Like, I just don't get it. Because I don't know. I don't understand it. Because you shouldn't be able to hit the ball as hard as he does and it go in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Anyone else who tries to hit the ball as hard as Jeffrey does, it goes 10 feet out.
Yeah. Because the court, again, the court is small.
Right. And it's, like, I grew up kind of playing tennis. So I have, like, I want to do, like, the tennis forehand where when you hit it hard, you hit topspin on it. So it has a little bit of an arc, and then arch, one of those words.
Yeah.
And then it kicks a little bit. But ping pong, or pickleball, you can do it, but it's not easy.
It's dicey.
It's tough.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey just smashes the ball every time. And I don't understand it. Yeah. He doesn't play it the way it's supposed to be played. And he just dominates.
Well, I mean, a couple of times I like looked over and I was like, Jeff's toe is in the kitchen. Like I should probably call a kitchen fault on him. But now knowing how competitive Joseph is, I'm kind of surprised he didn't call kitchen faults on Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Because he definitely he was pretty serious about it.
Mm. I know. I'm trying to get Joseph to paint one in their cul-de-sac.
Yes.
That's what needs to happen. That's
exactly what needs
to happen. And we all need to go over there and just play on a regular basis.
Period.
Yeah.
And you just get like, get some kind of weighted thing for a net or something like that.
Yep.
Well, it was amazing. And mainly because I know that I know how badly Tom wanted to dominate that tournament, but Jeffrey and Joseph just lit into everybody.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Tom just kept saying, we're not very good. At one point, which Tom pulled an all nighter before we played.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. They need to re-up it when Tom can be at top form.
Yeah. I don't, no amount of sleep would have helped either of us against Joseph and Jeff. No amount of sleep.
Welcome to
Ancient. We could have hibernated, both of us. After having just woken up and had the greatest spread of food, it would not have done anything.
Oh, gosh. Welcome to Ancient New. We're going to talk about the Bible. Thomas and Lee, and you're going to do a sequel, right?
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, I think I could stay in John 11 till we stop doing this podcast.
Wow. Just some people that listen to this know who Pastor Stuckey is. He was a lay pastor in Knoxville who mentored Tom Job. And apparently 23 years of preaching, he only preached out of the book of Revelation.
Are you serious?
He had the book of Revelation memorized. He had the book of Matthew, I think, memorized. And he had several other books. I think he had Romans memorized. But he, never went to seminary or anything like that. Didn't even work for the church. He worked at the lab. And but he preached for 23 years out of the book of Revelation.
Some people listening here, we say the lab and we know exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. Some people listening are like,
the lab?
What?
Yeah, there's a giant federal laboratory in our town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crazy stuff. If you like Stranger Things, you'll know that's what it is.
Yeah, and what's that podcast?
Limetown.
Drama Limetown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People think that's about Oak Ridge.
I think Zach Hughes got me into that. It was really cool.
Really good one. Okay.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Take us to John 11, T.
John 11. We go back to, golly, what is happening? I've been up a while. I've had coffee. This is later than we normally, well, it's becoming our new regular time.
But
I yawned less when we did this at 6 o'clock.
Did you?
I think so.
Eric Rice.
My yawniest episode was when we did it at Yanni or Laurel. What was it? Was that
3 p.m.
3 o'clock? Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go to verse, 5, I believe is where we're going to
start. I'm ready.
Yeah. So here we go. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus, by the way, it's tough for me to not say Lazarus because of Jesus of Nazareth.
You just switched.
That was so accidental. That was not on purpose. Jesus of Nazareth and Lazarus. It's so tough not to mess those things up. So whenever I read this to a high school group and I read the whole thing, I say Nazareth most of the time.
Lazarus, whose friend Jesus was from Nazareth?
Yeah. That is heresy. Okay. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Question mark. That is the part that I am just... It's essentially the Jews, or the... It's the disciples saying, "Are you sure?" Yeah. To Jesus. They're yeah. just like, because there's so much good stuff in this. And when you,
which is the, by the way, that's the exact way that Thomas will address you when he thinks you're wrong about something. He'll just say, he does it to me all the time. He'll just say, Are you sure? He corrects me a lot. And no, that's the way he does it.
Not that much. But
are you sure?
Are you sure? But that's what the disciples are doing there. Yes. They're looking to the God of the universe and they're saying, "Are you sure?"
Like, you want another swing at that?
Yeah. Let's think again, Jesus. Have you thought of this through from all angles?
Wow.
Do you know?
That is exactly what's happening.
Have you possibly considered this? Which, like, this is a passage of scripture that you could very easily overlook that. And I
have my entirety of reading it, but I've been doing like a pretty deep study on the book of John for a while.
Yeah.
And I was just very detailed reading that, and I double took and was like, "Wait a second. The disciples are trying to convince Jesus he's wrong about something."
Hey, all-knowing one, we got opinions.
Yeah, have you thought about this?
What, like, there's an amazing thing in How I Met Your Mother where it's when Robin finds out she cannot have children.
Yeah.
The story switches from Ted talking to his kids to her talking to her kids that she doesn't actually get to have, which you find out at the end of the episode. Yeah. But there's a bit where she's explaining to them. She's like, "Okay, every one of my friends,
I know exactly how they're going to handle this. One is really going to try to comfort me. No, it's Ted. One is going to try to make me laugh at all costs, and that is Barney.
Right.
One is going to think of every possible outcome and make sure I've thought of it already, and that is Marshall."
And there, it's funny because Marshall's like, "Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this?" Because what Robin tells her friends is not that I can't have kids. She tells them I can't be an Olympic pole vaulter.
Oh.
Which is just weird. But Marshall's like, have you filed a complaint with the IOC? Have you done this? Have you done this? That's what I think of when I read this. Is like, it's so funny, but the disciples are saying to Jesus, "Have you thought about this? Are you sure? Do you know?" Like, first of all, it's freaky. It's scaring us that you would do this, because last time you almost got stoned, which we don't really know about where that happened, but it happened, and unless it was a long time
chapter
ago.
Chapter 8.
Yeah, I guess in chapter 8.
When he says, "Before Abraham was, I am."
Yeah, but even before then,
he
stayed there a little while longer after that. Yeah. I don't know if it was another incident or if it was chapter 8. That's probably what they're talking about. And then I guess he gets surrounded at... Well, no, they don't surround him there to stone him. They just surround him there to try to trick him. But anyways, his disciples, I would imagine, are super freaked out. They don't really know what's going on. And in their mind, there's only one possible outcome of what could happen. And that it just goes downhill again. And I can understand from their perspective, like, hey, there's a thing that's about to happen that you're asking us to do and to go with you on. And in our minds, it can only possibly go this way because historically this is what's happened. But Jesus is saying, no, we're going to go do this.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. This is what I'm asking you to do. And I think in our relationship with the Lord, that's a thing. Like, there are things that he's asking us to do.
We think we know the outcome of with whatever knowledge we have as humans. We can only see this going one way. Yet the Lord is saying, let's go do this.
Wow.
And that, like, that's a daily occurrence for a lot of people. Not for a lot of people in the sense that they may get stoned. Like, part of me is reading this and I'm like, I'm laughing at the disciples at one side of my mouth. So I'm like, you're telling the God of the universe, have you thought about this? Is this smart?
Right.
You know, like, that's laughable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how often do I pray that?
Yeah.
How often am I doing the exact same?
Right.
Like, hey Lord, have you...
Totally.
Do we want to do this for sure? Are you sure about this? And one time, sometimes it's
fun to think about, like, if, and this is very dramatic, but like, if my story was a book that was being written and there's someone on the other side of it, just like I am
with the Gospel of John, like 2,000 years later, and I get to see this.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
But like, how many prayers are, am I on the other side of thinking to myself, like, are you serious, dude? Come on.
Yeah.
Or like, how many thoughts are there to the Lord that I'm like, bro, are you serious? You're saying that to the God of the universe right now? Like, heaven me is like,
yeah.
Are you joking?
Heaven me.
Yeah, you know, like, it's a bit obscene, but like, how much time do I spend questioning what God wants when, and assuming my human mind knows better, just like these guys were like, wait, are you sure?
It's one of those things, this is, I'm stealing kind of a Glenn phrase right now, but it's one of those things that makes sense in your head and it sounds silly when you say it out loud. And so, which I love when he does that, like he'll do that when somebody like, with like some insecurity they have or some fear they have or something like that. And then he's like, says it out loud. And it's like, wait, did you hear how dumb that was? Like, have you thought about that? You know,
he follows it up by saying like, basically saying like, hey, by the way, you have me and I'm asking you to do this and we need to go do this. You know, that's how I've taken the little bit afterwards. But like that, it's just going to be our walk until the,
it's just going to be our life
until we get to heaven.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord. And this is not news to anybody,
yeah.
But when you read this
and you've never really thought about it, like I've literally never thought about verse 8 as
his
disciples trying to say like, are you sure? Have you thought about this?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I think about it for myself, I'm like, how many times have I said to the Lord, are you sure? Have you
thought about this? Plenty of times.
But until the end of my life, he is going to put us, he's going to put me in situations where it's like, I just don't. I don't know how I feel about this,
right.
But you're asking me to do it.
I love that Thomas is the one who winds up being the person who says, let's go die with him.
Oh, my dude. Because like, he gets such a bad rap.
He does.
There's,
I used to do this ministry to this assisted
living center here in town. Yeah. And literally it was on the second floor of this assisted living center, which the entire floor is devoted to memory care. So it was all folks. Well, 85% were folks with Alzheimer's or dementia.
Right.
And so every week it was the same thing. Like I would say the same thing. It didn't matter if I played the same songs every week. I would just go play old hymns for them, which was a beautiful thing
because they would all. Tender.
Yeah. And then I would throw in like an Elvis song or just a classic old standard that they would all know. But there's a crazy thing where like folks who don't have great memories have these weird things where they know every word to a song they learned when they were 5 years old.
Sure.
And they know who taught them and how they taught. It's crazy. It's so beautiful. But every week
there was she's from New York, and I would introduce myself to her, and she would say, you're not doubting Thomas, are you?
Oh,
not,
wow.
Not doubting Thomas, and it was just
like, every single time?
Dude, only gets remembered for one thing, not the time where he's like, let's go! We're gonna go do this thing with him.
Yeah, like literally, let's run through a brick wall, I'll go die with him.
Yeah, which also, Thomas and Didymus both mean twin, and here I am. So I'm like, did my parents not tell me something? Sense. My whole life.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
Okay. I real quick, I want to look at something in Matthew chapter 21, which by the way, before we move off of that, I adore the fact that, that John says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
Yeah.
Like he individually deals with all of them. He loved her.
Yeah.
He loved her. And he loved
him. Which I think is cool, knowing what we talked about last week.
Yes. I just love how specific that is. It's so sweet.
There's also another thing where it says, so he stayed for 2 more days.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
I know.
He loved him, so he stayed.
Right.
So he flew across the sky.
Yeah, like he didn't Naruto run there. He like, he stayed. Okay.
I don't know what that is, but I agree.
It's for the young people.
Well.
It's just because I have kids. That's the only reason I know what a Naruto run is. No, you're not a young people. Okay. Matthew chapter 21, and way down in verse 28.
Okay.
Real quick, little parable. parable, a story that Jesus would tell with a deeper meaning, for people who are interested in knowing about the kingdom of God. If you weren't, you just heard a cool little story. Here we go. Matthew 21:28 says, Jesus said, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? 'The first,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John," and he means John the Baptist, "came to show you the way of righteousness, but you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." This is a parable that I have to be honest, I never heard this parable the entire time I was growing up.
Oh.
Like, I never heard anybody preach on it. I never heard anybody talk about it. And I think it's because people don't believe it. They don't like it. They don't believe it. Like, my whole life growing up, the vibe that I had with church stuff was like, you got the joy, 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 joy down in your heart. Like, so perfect.
Why would he say that?
Oh, two people are like, yeah, the people that went to VBS. Yeah. Oh gosh, that was good. That was really good. Yeah. So the vibe was like attitude is like the number one thing. Like, you're like, you need to have a great attitude about your relationship with Jesus. Just have a great attitude. And like, and then Jesus tells this story where he's like, here's somebody who had a crappy attitude and they wound up being the person who did the thing. Here's somebody who started out screwing the whole thing up.
But if you were 8 years old and you found out someone had a crappy attitude and still went to heaven, then your parents would have to deal with
it. Exactly. So that's the thing, is I think that people don't talk about this story because they don't believe it. Yeah. And, but the person who told the story was Jesus. Again, the God of the universe sees it this way. It's not about having it together all the time. It's not about like, it's, you know, I mean, literally the first son said, "Nope, don't want to, not going to, don't like it, not interested, I'm out." And then was the guy who wound up doing it. And it's like, and I think that people don't believe that. Like the thing that we were always told was, you got to have it together. You got to be happy about it. You got to put a smile on that face. And that's the way to do this. But literally Jesus is like, no, it's that those are actually some people that are making it in, and people that are like shouting my name and throwing their hands up in the air that look like they've got it all together. That's not what I'm after.
Yeah. Yeah. It, I mean, look, if this thing isn't true, then we're all screwed. We're all sinners.
Right.
The people who preach the other message, that's a scary thing to me.
Yeah.
In order for the gospel to work for you, you have to admit that you eat it at some point.
Yeah.
You have to admit that you were a total failure and eat it.
Yeah.
Because this whole, the idea of it being the other way around is saying, like, I'm awesome. I've never needed it.
Well, like the message Tom gave on Sunday morning was like, at a certain point, I leaned over to Christy, even while he was talking, and I was like, when I was in high school and I started coming here, this is this kind of message. I just didn't know it existed. Like when I started hearing this stuff, hearing that kind of thing from Tom, the conversations like that I would have with Potsy, like it was just like, it was like a cup of cold water, and you know, on a really, really hot day, it was just like so sweet. And just to know that, like, spiritually, if you are the kind of person who's ever been like, I'm just not in, I'm having a bad day. I don't feel like doing anything today. I feel like checking out. I feel upset. I feel angry. I feel pissed. I feel all those things. And then, but like, you know, you get to the place where you have, where you're walking with them and you have some faithfulness and all that kind of stuff. It's like, you get to be that guy. I think that's part of the good news of this little parable for me is like, it was the kid who said, nope, I don't want it. I don't want to do it, and wound up doing it. And then the person who was like, yes, Lord, I'm in. It is going to be awesome. I'm so glad you asked me to do this. I'm so pumped. And then doesn't actually do it. It's like, yeah, he's not interested in that.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's good news to me.
Yeah.
So here's my question. If Joseph tied one, like if you tied his arm down to his waist and he only had the use of, like he could only move his hand, like all the way down to his wrist, it's like tied against it, would he still beat you?
In what?
Ping pong.
I don't know. I don't know. Probably. He's just fantastic.
The thing that amazed me in the pickleball tournament was the fact that I would hit a ball and I knew like this one's on the back line and it's going to be perfect. And like Coach Scott couldn't answer that hit. Michelle Scott couldn't answer that hit. Anybody, Bill couldn't answer that hit. But we would do it against Joseph and he would put it back in play. That was what was killing me, was like, he put everything in play.
I tried to get a really good picture of Tom where he had just like, he'd reached for a ball and just went ahead and went all the way down to the ground when he missed it and just sat there and it was raining. And I tried to get a picture and I couldn't.
Just as a summation of the whole day.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. So fun. Okay, dude. Guys, thanks for hanging with us. Thanks for encouraging us. We love y'all. I'm Lee.
I'm Tom.
This has been HNN New.